Come along with us as we discuss our heritage for our legacies.
Welcome to our journey.
Hey, y'all. This is Michael.
This is Keith.
And we got a special guest with us today. Today's Wednesday. What is it? Second week in
16th.
The 16th. Second week of August.
It's the best month.
So our buddy Jeff come back down. I don't know what he's doing here. He dang sure didn't bring no cows this time. But you know, David's out chasing some murder hornets over in Savannah. All part of his job with the Department of Agriculture. If y'all ain't heard about it, it's the first ones in the United States ever, and he had to go check them out. So anyway, reminder about the Bowen reunion, September the 17th at 1 p.m. in Hoboken, Georgia. Bring a dish.
Is this the only Bowen clan meeting, gathering?
No hoods.
Whatever. You had to throw that in. Whatever. Is this kind of like the July the 4th thing?
No, this is actually a family reunion that we do once a year.
So outsiders are not invited?
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
I mean,
just family, curious.
Family's family.
Yeah.
Buddies.
Outlaws are in-laws, right?
Right.
That's right. But,
cool.
Everybody try to make it. If you have any questions, you can call Buddy Bowen at 912-286-2135. Yep, rewind that.
Yeah.
Anyway, we didn't have any notes put together. We were going to have a special phone-in guest, and he'll probably call in a little bit. But right now, we're just going to shoot from the hip. I'm sure Keith's got something to say about Liz Ann going off to college, and Jeff might have something to say about that new big tent that they're advertising.
It's so exciting.
What you got, Keith?
Well, Liz Ann's doing good. Saturday to leave her in Statesboro was hard, but I think what's helped is she's called and asked questions. Me and her mama's found out that she is listening to us.
Imagine that.
Yeah, it's been, I think that's what's made it easier on me. And she's checking things out. Seems to be enjoying the classes so far. So the new experience she's having, I think it's well deserved. For her, but yeah, we talked to her pretty much every day, and in a day she had issues with her computer, so she called Daddy to get that fixed, and we got the parts ordered, and she picked them up, and she probably got it up and going now.
Those are trying times. Fresh out, don't know which way is up.
Yeah.
It's good to have good parents. Those are good times, but yet you're scared to death.
Yeah.
Hopefully that you thought that you prepared and.
All right, so we got Jeff sitting in David's seat tonight. Yeah. He's going to be the storyteller.
Oh Lord.
Jeff, do we need any cows down here on the farm?
Oh my gosh, we're going to bring this up, man. I can't do this one sided.
It might be better that you do it one side.
You might want to give your side of the story before he gives his.
This is one-sided.
Dolores ain't going nowhere. She's going to be just fine. Leave her alone.
It's Doris.
Dolores.
I don't understand this, Dolores. It's Doris.
That's his dog, by the way.
Faithful companion.
So anyway.
No, so, you know, I'll just tell you this. It's an eye-opening experience. And it's a very surreal 18 years of my life has been formed and put all into this one thing of being a cowman on my own, being, somebody that other people depend on. Denise and I are raising a herd, and we were really honed in on our breeding schedule and whatnot, and put our cattle together with somebody else, and I did all the marketing and all the picture taken and did the loading, and the, you know, all of a sudden we're not going to be doing that anymore. You know, the end of a chapter. And this week it was a very surreal experience walking through that cell barn. I used to run one more time, and I looked at my buddy that was with me, and I was, you know, I was fighting it coming, you know, walking out. And he said, "Are you okay?" And I said, "I could have done without this." And he said, "You know, we'll be here next month with yours." I said, "I didn't want to think about that either."
Yeah.
I was out in where I wanted to go. And so end of the chapter, you know, your life, that for so many years, this is what you've become. This is what you are. This is what everybody knew you as or whatnot. And you ask, do we need some more down here? I think we do. But, you know, it's that spot of who's going to do what and what's the end goal, you know. And I thought my end goal was one day we were going to have a, you know, a big place and, you know, grow the herd, grow the business, take it to the next level. And, you know, it just turns into that. This was a Jeff pipe dream.
That's
not what the Lord had for right now.
Right.
For us.
Just and, different season.
Yep. So, you know, but get to that point that, okay, I'll open my hands. I'll do whatever you want me to do.
So why did you get rid of the cows? Why are you having to?
For one, it's a lot on our plate, and we're having to move out of losing our lease, and it's just timing, you know, issue of 2022 hit, 21 hit, sorry, and land shot through the roof. And if you didn't own any land at that time, you're not going to afford to buy any right now and continue on, because it's hard to justify spending that kind of cash and trying to make the cow farm work.
Right.
So that's one reason. The other reason is the tent business is taking off, and in a manner that you just can't do both. So, you know, it's a business decision, plus it's a family decision of, do we keep going? Do we buy? We purchase more land. We purchase more cows. It's just not making sense, you know. You stretch so far, it's like the rubber band just keeps pulling, and just not feasible to do that just with cattle.
Yeah. Well, what's your next adventure? I know you talked about going to Texas.
That's a dream, man. We just got back from there, and we just had a natural born ball. Denise could see it. She could enjoy it. She could see what I've been seeing for the last 5 years of going back out there, you know, making those trips, making the contacts, making the relationships and true, you know, camaraderie of those men that, you know, have trusted us to do a job. And so Denise was, you know, she's on board. She's enjoying it.
Yeah.
So who knows, man? We're going to keep walking through that door too. I hope and pray, you know, that door does fly wide open and make it easy for us to transition and make a business there. But, you know, we're not going to force anything. We want to do what the Lord has for us, period.
Yep. Wherever He leads you, you got to go.
That's right.
Yeah.
That's exactly right.
Well, and we've talked, the thing about what Jeff's done all these years is the people that it's put him in circles with.
Yeah.
And how the Lord's using that even now with this transition. And we've all got to take that into consideration. Even when it doesn't feel the best, when that season starts changing, just knowing that, hey, God's orchestrated it up till this point.
That's right.
That's
exactly right.
He's going to keep on. So that's what's so neat to me when I get to talk to Jeff, is finding out it's always something else that the Lord's lined up.
Yeah,
that's right.
So,
yeah, I was, you know, down here last time, and we were fetching the cattle. And
you call that fetching?
Yeah, we call it fetching.
Okay. I wanted to be clear.
Yeah, you know, the Lord, it was an eye-opening experience for me. I was frustrated, scared to death. Everybody was working in daylight, the dark, and everywhere in between. The next morning, I was, screaming, hollering, mad at God the whole time, and I unloaded my horse, and I just heard this extremely still, quiet, "I own them all. I do with it what I want."
Right.
"I own every single one. They sit on 1,000 hills. These are mine. And I've entrusted you. And I know that you're going to do what I ask you to do. I'm using you as my God."
Hey, we're back. We had a little break there. Dolores hit.
Oh, my gosh. You got to say Dolores. It's Doris.
It's Doris.
Doris.
Doris June.
Doris June.
Hit our easy button on our power strip.
She shut us down.
And she shut us down. So, anyway.
Jeff was in the middle of, or at the end of a good story there.
Yeah, it's at the end.
And he was fixing to read us a verse or something, I think.
Yeah, so 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 10 says, "Dear brothers and sisters, work hard to prove that you really are among those God has called and chosen. Do these things, and you will never fail. You will never fall away."
Yeah.
Then God will give you a grand entrance into the eternal kingdom of our Lord and Savior Jesus.
Yes, sir. Yeah. And it goes right along with the scripture that I had.
Yeah. That we didn't know.
That we didn't, yeah. James 1 and 22, "But be ye doers of the word, and not hearers only, deceiving your own self." So, do it.
Yeah.
Don't just say it, do it.
That's right.
Yeah.
Be bold enough to say what he puts on your heart to people. So, go for it, Keith. Elaborate on that.
Well, I think that kind of goes with what we talked about Sunday morning.
Mm-hmm.
And I've had that brought up some more this week about us really getting into the Word and having to call on the Holy Spirit to enlighten us on what it means, because we're reading it in English.
Yep.
And when you look back, if you look at a translation, most of the translations didn't come across to English very well from the Greek and the Hebrew.
Right.
And when you start looking at the Hebrew and what the words mean, there's a lot of variation between the Greek, Hebrew, and English. And if we only take the English version of the Bible and we are just going to say, "Hey, this is the Word of God, and what it says on this piece of paper is all it means," we're in for a rude awakening. And that's why we have to say, "Holy Spirit, show me what this means." And then go look at the original. I mean, the one of the best illustrations of it is the Ten Commandments. In the Ten Commandments, we've always heard, "Thou shalt not kill." Well, that's a little misleading. I mean, what's...
Especially when David knocked that giant out.
That's right.
Are we talking about killing animals, or are we talking about killing people?
That's right.
Murder.
That's the point. If you go back to the original Hebrew, I think it would be Hebrew, it is murder. You are taking the life of somebody for no reason. Well, what do you mean, no reason? Well, there's reasons why lives are taken. War, for example. There were reasons, capital punishment.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, somebody commits a law or breaks a law, it's punishable by death. So God had it in store for us to ease our conscience, because there are people that have to take life, but they're not murdering somebody. But if we just look at the English language and we look at the English translation and it says, "Thou shalt not kill," so there's a lot of scripture that we need the Holy Spirit to quicken it inside of us and let us know, hey, this is what I mean there. And it's like I brought up with Daddy. Daddy read through this year, I think it was right at 20, 22 years, he read the Bible through each year. And every time he'd come to me and say, guess what I read today? And I didn't get, I never got it this way. Well, why? Because the Holy Spirit was speaking something new into him. So, you know, we've got to trust the Holy Spirit to lead us, not just in our walk, but in our learning of the Scripture.
I think not to hurry either, you know.
Yeah.
Just be quiet.
Listen.
Listen.
He says, be still.
Be still.
And listen.
Yeah.
And I mean,
in a hurry.
Yeah, I was talking with one of the boys I used to work with that we've prayed for and, you know, and helped through some situations. The good Lord put him in a situation where he took him out of work for a little while. Now, the boy almost lost his sight, but it taught him a lesson.
Mm-hmm.
It taught him to be still and be thankful for your senses that you have, because he had a piece of metal stuck in his eye and it wouldn't, you know, some people couldn't find it. So he had to go to a specialist and they found it and did surgery on him. And had it been a little bit deeper left or right, he would have lost his vision. But, you know, he made it real easy for me to communicate with him, yeah. You know, kind of poking at him.
Yeah.
You know, he's telling you something, you might need to listen. And he did. He sat back and he prayed about it and he listened and got an eye opening is what I called it.
Yeah. So. And that's the way God works through our situations. I say our situations because a lot of the stuff we do in the natural, it's because of us, you know. But God uses it for his glory, his benefit, and a lot of times it works out for our benefit even when it went to hell in a handbasket, so to speak.
Yeah. Right. So you get to witness this, Jeff. Hang on to your seat because we're fixing to call Jamie Bell.
Come on with it.
He's been wanting to talk to us this week, and hold on just a second. Sent me a text. He's, all right, y'all, hold on. Here we go. Hey, brother.
Hey.
So you got me and you got Jeff Holloway here and you got Keith. David's not available today, so okay. He's having to go check them bees out.
Oh, okay. Yeah, good deal.
All right, so anyway, we got it where everybody can hear you. So what you got on your heart, brother?
Here's the thing that's I was invited to a service the other week, and they had these women to come in that went through this program, and you know, the women they had done lost their kids, and they was, you know, strung out on drugs, they was facing time in jail and this, that, and the other, but you know, they was able to this program, and when they went through the program, they became, you know, sober, and the program helped them get their kids back. The program helped them, you know, find jobs, and the program helped them, you know, reestablish themselves and become productive in society.
Yeah.
This was for women, right? And I was just sitting there and I was looking at that, and I just started to think about how many of the men, there's very few programs.
Right.
And I just began to think about, you know, legacy, generations, you know, and things of that nature there, which is, you know, we already got the enemy attacking, you know, the male species anyway.
Yeah.
And I was just sitting up there thinking about, you know, how can we run some type of interference with educating those that, you know, or, you know, like, you know, putting them in jail is one thing there, but, you know, building them up, getting some guidance, getting some structure, getting some, you know, some kind of standard built in them there before they come back in society.
Yeah.
Or released back into society, if they are released back into society. There, you know, what, you know, how can we break that thing of just being in prison and you're developing that prison mentality, the whole secluded mentality, the whole thing. And then when you come back out, you don't know anything different than what you went in. And so you're not coming back to a society that's accepting of you now, because one, you got a record.
Yep.
And then your history is following you there. And then whenever you want to, you have a mind to want to do right there, because you've been gone for so long. But after one or two no's, resort back to the old you there. They got you in that place the first and in the beginning.
Yeah, you got to go back to what you know to try to survive.
Right. And so now it's a cycle. It's a cycle that's happening. And then now there's kids now that's involved, and that's that's being bothered by that. That's having to deal, you know, in this, and having to be raised by somebody else, be it foster system or be it a mother or grandmother, aunt, uncle, or whatever the case may be. But then this cruel world that we live in, they're being bullied there. And, you know, the suicide rate from the age of, 13 till, right there to about the daughter, 18, 19 years old, man, it's constantly climbing.
Yeah.
It's not going down, that's for sure.
And the thing that's consistent in all of it, that there's an absent parent.
Yep.
There. And man, that thing, I was just sitting there listening to those different testimonies and listening to those. That's the first. And I was just beginning just to think about how, they're building prisons all the time, because it's big business.
Yeah.
There. It's big business. So now we're in a society to where the pharmaceuticals, it's killing us. The what's supposed to be helping is killing. How can we involve ourselves in this? Because I know Jesus is the answer. I know that's it there. But we don't have that place to, how can we run some type of interference, in this thing? Is it even a possible thing, or am I just losing my mind? It's terrible, man. It's so, it's a terrible thing that's happening, man. And
there are prison ministries out there where pastors go in and talk. I've hadn't done a whole lot of research on it, but I have heard of it happening. Is that something that you're looking at, or
I'm just trying to do. I just know that just sitting and just doing nothing is not helping.
Yeah,
and I know it's a needed thing. I'm not saying that it's the answer, but it's definitely a step in the right direction.
Right. Well, I mean, that has started here in Pierce County with pastors going into the county jail.
Ramsey's letting them come in. Now they're going into the cells, and it's because the inmates are requesting it. It goes back to what you're saying. There's got to be a break in the cycle. And it kind of goes back to what you've been sharing on Facebook, what we've talked about. In my thought process is, we, the church, have to quit playing church, quit establishing measures that are unattainable for people that are just starting off, to show Christ's love to them. And right. That's where I'm having a big problem with the church, having all these programs and rules that aren't scriptural.
Right.
Because it's showing the people that need Christ the most, they're at rock bottom. It's causing the enemy's using it for his benefit, and the church is, to me, standing back and not affecting change where it's needed the most. And yeah, we can do all the spiritual warfare we want to, but we also have to be in contact with these people. We have to, right, to be reaching out to them and showing them God's love and showing them that, you know, and being transparent. Yeah, we hear about transparency in our government all the time, and it's a joke. But in the church,
it's got to be transparent.
We have to be transparent and say, look, this is where I was. This is what I struggle with daily, and I'm a pastor. You know, these are my struggles. These are where I fall short. Instead of people being put on pedestals that these people looking up are going, yeah, I can't do that.
Yeah,
I gotta do this to put food on the table for my kids.
Right.
You know,
I'm sorry. Go ahead.
Go ahead.
I came off live. I think it was Monday I was on, and this lady, one of my life, she messaged me and asked me if I can pray for her. And she gave me a number. She was an older lady, and so I called her and I prayed with her, and she said, "Pastor, can I tell you something?" I said, "Yeah." She's very hesitant about even saying anything to you because, you know, I have this sore spot in me against pastors and just, you know, people that are in church. I said, "Well, first of all, let me stop you right there." I said, "I'm not in no church. I am the church."
Yeah, that's it.
And first of all, and she said, "And these so-called church members," I said, "I'm not a church member." I said, I am a kingdom citizen.
Yep.
She was like, "Well, I said, so, you know, what is the deal?" And she just went to telling me about a pastor, you know, that was living a double life.
Yeah.
And she said that, you know, I mean, she was just, and she went to this pastor, you know, just, you know, wanting this pastor, you know, she was wanting to be, she wanted to be filled with the Holy Spirit. And she was wanting to go to the pastor and you know, talk to the pastor so he could teach her about, you know, how does that work, how salvation work and all those things there. And one of his followers told her, "Yo, you don't want to go talk to him, you know, because he ain't gonna have food with nobody like you."
Mm. Mm. Mm.
And
that ain't the only one circumstance like that.
I said, wait a minute, do what? I said, "You were told that?" She had no desire to want to do or know anything about it, know Jesus.
Mm-hmm.
And I said, "Rightfully so."
Yeah.
I said, "Rightfully so." I said, "If I would have had that experience, I wouldn't be believing in Jesus like I do." I said, "But let me tell you this." I said, you can't, I said, "Being that you called me, there's still a burning, there's still a yearning, there's still a curiosity that you have about
Jesus." That's right. That's right.
I said, "Because if it wasn't, you wouldn't ask me to call and ask me to pray for you, for one." There, I said, "But being that you did that, that let me know that you're still curious about it." And she said that, "I love the Lord." And I said, "Loving the Lord is one thing." I said, "But living the life, accepting him for who he is, that's something totally different." I said, "And it comes with its own persecutions. It comes with its own weights. It comes with its own struggles. It comes with its own everything. It's not a pure, it's not a beautiful thing there. It's not one of those things that you're going to get into and then all the troubles go away. That's all right. The haters go away. All that's the people right. It's not that kind of walk. If that's what you are believing for it to be there, then I would suggest to you there not to even bother."
Yeah.
I said, "Because it's going to do more damage to you than it is going to do good to you, because most people come into this whole thing, which we call Christianity, which Christ-like, you know, patterning your life after the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ." There, I said, "People come into this thing thinking that once they accept Jesus, that everything go away." I said, "Your troubles have only yet begun."
That's right. That's right.
And she said, "Why is that?" I said, "Because they're not after you now. The demons, they're not after you now. They're after the Jesus that's in you now."
That's right. Yeah.
I said, that's what the Bible says. He said, "They're not going to hate you. They're going to hate me."
That's right.
She said, "See, this is why I had to call you." And I said, "And so, but the beautiful thing about it, though, the beautiful thing about Jesus is when you accept him, now you have something backing you. Now, when you govern your life according to His word, she was like, how do you do that? I said, how often do you read the word, read your Bible? She said, I read it often. I said, no. How often do you read your word? I mean, reading for understanding, reading to find Jesus on every page, reading for that word now to become in your life to the point to where you have the understanding now to where you can make it applicable now to your everyday walk. Do you read it to that degree? She said, I don't understand it like that. I don't understand it to where I can do that. I said, the word that you know, I said, don't even think about going to get the Bible now. I said, the scripture that you know, what's the scripture that you know right now? Your favorite scripture. There. She wanted to talk about the Lord's Prayer. I said, start right there.
That's good.
Yeah. That's good.
I said, start right there. Start right there. Don't go no past. The Lord is my shepherd. Don't go no further than that.
That's right.
Yeah.
I said, you don't have to go any further than that right there. Start doing your study on what it is for the Lord to be your shepherd. And she just began to tell me what she thought a shepherd was. And I said, that's real good right there. That's real good. I said, if he can be that to you in your life, there, if I could show you evidence in the word of God to where he'll be that to you in your life, there, would you accept him today? Oh, yeah. So we just began to we just talked. And so I just let she went on this whole just spiel for a whole hour and a half, just talking about all the different things that has happened to her in life. Mm-hmm. And she had nobody to turn to.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I've been divorced 3 times. And every person that she went to beat her up, told her she was a no good, this and that. And it was her fault that this happened to her. Mm. Her fault that she lost her. All of this and all that. I said, I don't know any truth to that there. I said, but I don't care what happened, what was taken from you, what was lost or whatever. I said, but all is not lost.
That's right. Today, you're a daughter. That's right.
That's right.
That's right.
I said, you just got every single thing that you can possibly need in this life right here. As long as you're still here on this earth, I said, you got every single thing right now to move forward.
That's
in life.
Right. Yep. That's right.
Well, and the thing that,
yeah, go ahead.
The simplicity of that, our Father. How many people don't have a father? How many people don't know who their father is? You know, there's so many things that prayer wraps into that.
Brings to life.
Brings to life.
Right.
And the problem is that you went against the grain of the church. And what I mean by that is you said, let's start here. Let's start with what you know. The church tends to have the problem of saying, let's start with what you don't know. Let's build on what you know. You know that it says our Father. Well, that covers a lot of people that don't have a father.
Yep.
And I think that's the simplicity with which these things are going to begin to change, because we've got to go back to the basics, fundamental basics of who God is to me. Because if I know who He is to me, I can share that with somebody.
That's right.
And I can share, you know, hey, and that's okay. You don't have family. You got family now.
That's right.
Yeah.
Yeah. True family.
And yeah. I just went and Googled this, Jamie, and there's a Prisoners of Christ organization. It's a nonprofit organization out of Jacksonville. And they actually, it looks like they got a place right here in at Ware Prison too.
Yeah.
So there's places out there that's doing the ministry in the prisons. And like what the sheriff here did, you know, opening the doors up for the pastors to go in there. That's, you know, that was huge. What he come in and told us was that he didn't know anything else to do but open the doors up for prayer and for teaching inside the prison.
Right.
But we got to do this inside the schools too. And I told that to somebody the other day. I said, it ain't going to be long. The churches are going to be teaching schools.
That's right.
Yeah.
They're going to be in charge of it instead of the government.
Right.
That's right.
Yeah.
But we got to be that one, His church, not not these all these different.
It's the church, region, not religions. A church.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah, and you know, I was telling a lot of people the other day, is you know we, you know everybody got this vision of church, but it ain't the vision of church.
No.
You know, and everybody got this mindset of, you know, Sunday service is having church as usual. And I told them, I said, you have yet to even experience church as usual. Not according to scripture, you haven't.
Right.
Because if you've experienced church as usual, it would be an impossible thing for anybody to go to church one way and leave that same way.
Amen.
Yeah. Right.
Amen. They're not doing that. I can tell you they're not doing that in China. They are going in and they're coming out different people. And the miracles are really happening. Why aren't miracles really happening here in our church?
Yeah.
You know, I am a firm believer. I want to seek the Lord and do everything he wants me to do, period. It's because I want everything he has for me.
Yeah.
Go ahead, Keith.
Well, and that's what, you know, this podcast, it's not because we're trying to preach. We're trying to show three different, four different, five different views on how we see ourselves plugging into the church. And there's not a mold. And that's the problem that religion has tried to bring in, denominationalism has tried to bring in, is they want to bring in a mold, and we're going to mold you into a Christian.
I think most of us has broke the mold.
Right.
Yeah.
And the only one that can mold us is the potter.
That's right.
Amen.
And that's Christ. And so once we get out of that ownership mentality of what we deem religion, and I'm not even going to say Christianity because it's not Christianity, it's religion. When we let go of the ownership of it and say, I'm going to follow Christ. I'm going to let him mold me, and I'm going to pattern myself after him. And then we get out and start seeing, okay, God, where do you want me today?
Yeah, what do you want me to say?
You know, like you. Okay, yeah, call me. I'll talk to you.
Yeah.
And the first thing, you know, that comes out is, well, this preacher. Well, okay, but no, we ain't talking about that. I want to know what you're thinking. Why you're right. feeling that way, and that ain't got nothing to do with me, and it shouldn't have right. anything to do with the preacher. But until we get to where we do that daily, because God's going to be putting us in those positions, we're going to start seeing changes in people's lives.
Right.
I can tell you on my end, Mr. Jamie, as a man, as a father and husband, I can tell you that not from a pastoral standpoint, but from a secular, trying to fill an acceptance void everywhere I could, I came to that realization that the generational curses were going to stop right here. They were going to stop with
Amen.
Me.
Amen. Yes,
and,
sir.
And I, you know, once you get to that point, you're not going back. I think, number one, the men, I know of my generation, the men have lost the fear of the Lord, and that it's going to come back to that at some point. That holy God spoke light into existence, and if he can speak it into, he can certainly speak it out of. As a man, you got to get to that point.
Yes.
So, anyway, I can tell you, you were asking about programs for men. Celebrate Recovery is probably one of the biggest things for me. It is very real. It's a very open experience. It's not, you know, it's in a church, but it's not church. It's more than a church. If Holy God can change my life, the lives of men around me, we can reach the community. We can go and do and tell our story. There's not too much more you can do for that, you know, other than that. I mean, you can beat them over the head with the Bible if you want to, but and you can certainly charge hell with a water pistol. But most of the time, that's not going to do a whole lot. You just got to be willing to share your story. That's going to win people to the Lord quicker than anything. And Celebrate Recovery has taught me that you know, those people that go to that are not going to church. And those that are going to church that are in that were not going to church before, if that makes any sense.
Yes, sir, it does. It really does.
You got one right there in Douglasville.
Yeah, it's pretty old.
No, you got two of them, actually, Jamie.
Yeah, I mean, the happening, the actual programs and the things here is not they got a lot of programs and a lot of things here.
Yeah.
Yeah, but the only thing that those programs are there for is to funnel money.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And it's turned into a business. Yeah, it's not geared around helping people to be able to process out of that old them into society.
Yeah.
There, because you know, if you get somebody in they're in that program, right? Okay, it's just like, look, this is how I look at it. It's like somebody go to the emergency room.
Yeah, that's right.
And they're sick, right? And you know, they'll get in there, they'll know that they came to the emergency room, know they got all these symptoms or sicknesses or whatever the case may be. Well, they exhaust all the funds. They tell them, well, you know, we didn't find what was actually the cause of your symptoms by the time you got to this point here.
That's right.
And so we don't have any more funds now.
We can't finish you.
Yeah, so we got to let you now go back out with the same symptoms, with the same ailments, and with no treatments and all these things here.
Yeah, yeah. And so that's right.
You go back, and so you go back out like, dang, like what? And then you're expected to be productive.
Yeah.
You know, you're expected to just go and heal yourself. You're expected, you know, to counsel yourself and to do all these things here, but it's not happening like that, and it's just a constant cycle.
Yeah.
Welcome, man, and I'm telling you, it's eating me alive. And what's so tough about it, man, is to see the young people.
Yeah,
young
that's
people,
right.
That never even experienced, you know, football. Like when you sent me that picture the other night.
Yeah, I figured
you was at
like
the football
that.
Game. there, and man, that I was like, man, that is so cool there. But then later on, I was sitting after we left my uncle's funeral. We were just sitting outside up on the, and my cousin and her husband, we were sitting there. They live over in Alma. And we were sitting right there by the grills. Everybody, they was getting, and then it just had to be a God move because everybody left but me and him. And I wasn't thinking nothing about it, wasn't thinking about nothing about saying nothing to nobody. I was just sitting there because it's been a long weekend.
Right.
I was just sitting there. And he said, I've never had a conversation with this guy to this degree before we spoke, you know, chopped up just a little. And I was just sitting there, and he said, hey, Cousin Jamie. He said, man, can I talk to you? I said, yeah, what's what? Never mind.
Oh, it's on now.
Oh, yeah, you done stirred it, boy.
I said,
a chicken bone, boy.
I said, what's going on? What do you mean, never mind?
Shut the door, lock it up. You ain't going nowhere, son. Sit down.
And he said, man, I don't even know how to even talk to you, you know, about this, but I just know that I don't know, just something, just telling me that I can talk to you.
You got that touch, Jamie.
There. And I said, man, I was just sitting over here just thinking about going over there, take those ribs off the grill, man. What in the world are you talking about? And he just started laughing. And he said, Jamie, I don't want to. I said, wait a minute, you don't want to do what? I said, man, I just got through burying my uncle today. I know you ain't talking no foolishness. He's like, no, not that, man. And he had a cup of a liquor or whatever it was. There, he said, more.
There you go.
He had the spirits.
There
in his
you
hand.
Go.
He said, man, I'm not doing it, man. It's because of, you know, that's what everybody.
That's right.
Man, and he said, how do I stop? I said, one day at a time.
That's right. That's right.
He said, what? I said, do it like this. I said, go ahead and enjoy yourself today. Go ahead and finish your drink right there. When you finish that one right there, start right there. And say, you know what? I ain't going to have another drink another day.
That's right.
I said, and you're gonna have to deal with the withdrawal. You're gonna have to deal with the flesh want yearning for it. You're gonna have to deal with all those things. But you're gonna say no.
Yep.
I'm not gonna drink. There, I said, but you can't just say no and not drink. You're gonna have to put something in its place. There, you're gonna have to put something in its place. There.
Yep.
I said, go ahead and get your Pepsi, get your some water, get your whatever the case may be. There, but don't let it be that. Anything but that.
Right.
There. I said you're gonna have to pray the whole while you dealing with this right here, because I'm telling you, your flesh gonna get the kicking and screaming. There, it's gonna be telling you that you're gonna die. Gonna telling you, I said you probably are gonna sweat and gonna doing every single thing, all of these things, because you're so used to, you know, drinking. You're so used to the alcohol. There, I said, and to remove that from your system, there, just like that. Man, your body ain't gonna like that. Your flesh ain't gonna like that. There, I said, day by day, take it one day at a time.
And if he is dead set on giving it up, if he's really tired of it, and then he prays about it, I know a man.
It'll leave. That's right. I know a man.
I know a man that did it for me.
Yeah.
He took every bit of that taste out of my mouth.
Amen.
Yeah.
He took. I can go and drink one right now and don't feel it.
Yeah.
I don't get no kind of anything out of it other than a bad taste in my mouth.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So I know a man.
Yeah, that's right.
Yeah. He asked me, he said, well, what happened is if I just have to have a drink, I thought I'm there. I said, after you have that drink, you start anew.
Yeah, start over.
You start anew.
Quit looking back.
And you keep praying. You keep praying. I said, but if you're going to, while you're in this thing, if you're going to keep making provisions for the flesh, be even that much deeper. The Bible teaches us to make no provision for the flesh. And so because you're thinking about going back, because you're thinking of failing in this, there, you're more likely to not even be consistent in it. I said, so your verbiage, your talk to yourself has to be different.
Yeah.
There. It can't be, what if I, you know, what if I fail? What if I do get a drink? You know,
oh, no.
It has to be.
What if I'm done?
You know, that's what I went to tell you. You know, so what if I'm done? What if you don't get a drink? What if it's now a week two? And then he said, man, he said, you know, Monday. He said, you know, Monday through Thursday, I don't even think nothing about drinking.
He can kick it quick.
Yeah, that's right.
Yeah, I said. So I said, well, what is it between Monday through Thursday? What makes Friday and Saturday so different?
Right.
He said, man, it's just something about the weekend. I said, it ain't nothing about the weekend. I said, it ain't nothing about the weekend. It's about your association of people.
Mm-hmm. That's right. And what you have built
within your psyche that the weekend should be like.
That's right.
That's it.
And I ain't never even thought nothing about that. I said, the enemy ain't going to let you think nothing like that. You do all that thinking Monday through Thursday.
Yeah.
Well,
I said, but Friday. You know, he ain't gonna bother with you. Yeah, he'll let you have those 4 days.
Yeah, that I can tell you. This was the verse that when we sat down, I pulled it up. It's 2 Peter 1:10. This is the New Living Translation. Dear brothers and sisters, work hard to prove that you really are among those God has called and chosen. Do these things, and you will never fall away.
Yes. So
you just tell him, hey, you feel like you want to? Read 2 Peter 1:10. I'm going to do these things, and I'm going to make a change because God has called me to.
Right.
Period. It's end of the story. I'm not going back.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. And we were sitting there talking, and his wife walked, and he kind of got a little quiet, and I said, this your reason, this your problem.
Uh-huh.
There you go.
I said you said that you don't want to do this. And then I said, then your wife come, then you get a little timid now. I said, I looked at her, I said, Your husband said this isn't him. He don't want to do it. There. And you know, she looked at him. Then I looked at her, I said, you feel that same way too? She just got quiet.
That's right.
I said, you do. Oh, so y'all afraid to have that conversation but y'all both feeling the same way, but afraid to have that conversation because the other person feel like they will be offended because you don't want to do something that y'all enjoy doing together.
Right.
Yeah.
And so that, and they both just sat there.
That's
there
right.
You go.
That's right.
Yeah.
And I said, how long y'all been battling like this? And they just so long. I mean, we just never talk. Just never would talk about it.
That's what's key.
Or whatever the case might be.
Communication.
And I said, I said, if y'all not going to have conversations in your marriage, I said, let's we ain't gonna talk about the drinking. Let's put that to the side for a minute.
Yeah, that ain't the problem.
Yeah. I said, let's talk about communication because what you don't talk to die.
That's right.
That's right.
Yeah. And I said, and y'all talked about, you know, just the different things that, you know, that y'all struggle with, and y'all have problems with, and y'all can't deal with it. I said, y'all not talking. Y'all don't talk to each other. Y'all don't even, y'all have no doubt. Like, how do y'all deal? How do y'all, if I was saying we're supposed to reason together, how y'all even, I said, the reason why y'all like this right here and feeling like this right here. I said, apart from the alcohol, apart from the drinking, the partying, apart from all those things right there, y'all don't even know how to even live. Y'all don't even know how to be together. Y'all don't even know how to even be married.
That's right.
Apart from those things, y'all just together just to appease other people.
Yep.
Yeah. Might as well be roommates.
Yeah. And messing up there, man, and we talked for another good 30 minutes just talking, and I was just encouraging them in the Word of God. Wasn't bashing them, wasn't beating them up, and then the whole while I'm talking to them, they started drinking there. And I said, when I got through, I got up, and I was getting ready to leave. I said, you know, it'd be a real good day to stop. A real good day to stop and start anew would be right now.
Yeah. That's right.
On the next trip to the refrigerator.
Yep. You know, right now while you're in the midst of it, right
That's
now,
right.
Just go ahead and pour it out. Go ahead and pour it out and just let the enemy know he have no more authority over you.
Yeah, he ain't doing it today.
Yeah.
That's right.
And man, just to sit there, man, and just to see people. This is the thing that the church has become. It has become a place to where it is beating people up that need help.
Right.
Yeah, that's right.
That's right. And, I think you got Keith's attention on that one. He sat up.
Yeah.
And it's such a terrible thing. I was talking to two pastors the other day, and I said, how in the world is if the church, if our local ministry is supposed to be the place for the broken, the place for the hurting, the place for the lost to come? Why when they come, we expect them to conduct themselves like they healed and don't have problems?
Yeah.
Right.
Why we expect for them to come and be filled with the anointing, just drenching with the anointing and have the Holy Ghost and walking in. Why we expecting them to come and already be at that mature place in the things of God already? They haven't been discipled. Nobody spent no time with them. Nobody loved. None of those things.
The building needs to be a kindergarten.
So they come. I said, and this is the thing that ticks me off. If they come and they got a gift. If they can sing, they can play an instrument, they can do whatever the case may be there. You won't even think nothing about their life. You want that gift so you can go up, you can put it a part of your program up there, and they can flaunt that gift out there and make it look like they're anointed when they're still up there just singing good, playing good, going straight to hell because you have yet to this point to where they gave their life to the Lord.
Right, yeah.
And I'm sitting up there, and I'm just baffled, man. And I'm like, The word of Jesus said, go make disciples. Go make disciples. Yeah. Go make disciples. He didn't say, go get a whole bunch of members that can sing good, play good, preach good, all this stuff.
No. And he also said, they're babes.
Yes.
They're babes. Well, okay, let's treat them like that. Let's not expect them to be where they should be. Because
ain't taught them nothing yet.
That's it. Yep.
I mean, like I said a while ago, and I wasn't trying to put anybody down, it's like a kindergarten for, you know, Christians or Jesus followers.
Yeah.
So, you know, you got to take your time with them. Love on them. Let them accept.
Yeah.
some things and, yep, and get him rolling around inside, because he's going to start on the inside and work his way out.
That's right.
Yes, ain't nobody can judge somebody walking in that door if they love Jesus or not.
Right.
That's right.
Their actions will show it, but you can't see it on the flesh.
No.
So that's right. We just got to we got to teach a little bit. We got to communicate with them a little
patience.
Bit. Yeah, patience is I mean, like Jamie said, don't put them up there singing in the choir just to sing.
Right.
Let them get something out of it.
Yeah.
I've been saying it for the longest, man, coming out of the script club, coming out the script. They're coming. And what I'm seeing in a lot of ministries and a lot of churches, man, I'm afraid for the
– Yeah.
I'm afraid because we have this homeless guy that every now and again he'll stop by the church and he'll ask for me, and I bring him right on in wherever I'm sitting at. I sit him right beside me, and I sit there. If he hung up, I go get him something to eat. I sit there and whatever. And I was working. This has been a couple of years ago when I was working at Cracker Barrel, and I forgot I had told this guy that I worked at Cracker Barrel, and so I'm up there working. And he came up there, and he told the person at the front there, come and see James, that he told me he worked up here. He told me if I ever came by here, he was going to give me something neat. And nobody came to tell me, would come tell me. And so I'm like, I hear commotion. And I was, so I walk around, and I see him. I walk up there. I say, man, what's going on up there? He came over there to me. Where I was, man, I tried to tell him to come get you. I said, man, you got to calm down. Why are you so upset? Why are you bothered? He's like, oh, they wouldn't let me come. I said, this is a place of business. First of all, you can't just walk around just anything there. And now he's like, man, I'm hungry, man. I'm hungry. I said, okay. And so they was like, you're going to get him something to go? I said, no, I'm not going to get him anything to go. I'm fixing to get him a table so he can sit down and he can eat. There, and they was like, are you serious? I was like, yeah, I'm serious. I said, is there something wrong with him sitting down here and eating? And they looking at me like I'm crazy. I'm making a scene now. You know, and so they like, no, go ahead on. But, you know, and I said, he's not going to bother anybody. Mm-hmm. He's not going to bother nobody. I said, why y'all feel like he's going to bother somebody because his clothes don't look like yours? Because he's not shaved? Because he's not clean shaved? And he, what? What? I said, what? He just had a bad break in life. Yeah. I said, everybody need a hand up, baby.
Yeah.
Then I said, just because he come in here, we got to treat him different. Got to treat him like he ain't is a nobody. I said, no, get him a table. I clocked out and I sat next.
That's right. Yeah.
Yeah.
No. And from that time forward, if he came up there, I never even knew it. But when I see him, your people took care of me. Your people took care of me.
That's right.
They was feeding him from there.
That's right.
They just needed to be shown.
Right. And so that's the kind of thing that's supposed to happen in the church, man.
Exactly.
And that's, you know, and I'm talking about from the parking lot ministry clean up to the pulpit.
Yeah.
It has to happen like that.
And not just in the four walls.
That's it. That is it. It is. I'm so sick of people. I told them, man, I cut up at the funeral the other day.
Imagine that.
I preached at my niece's funeral the other day, 7 weeks. I told them, I said, well, she's 7 weeks old, so we ain't got nothing. We ain't got to sit here and talk nothing about her. She ain't done nothing. She ain't lied on nobody. she ain't done none of those things there. Let's talk about, are you on the right side of time?
That's right.
That's it.
Y'all that understand, y'all that know, y'all are of that age of accountability. Let's talk about what side of time you're on now.
Yep.
There, and that's what we talked. That's what we talked about. That you got to come. You got to come out of this. And it was this couple, in there. They were same sex couple. That was there. They say that they're just friends now. They're no longer together now. Because they was together at one point, they just wanted to come and pay their respects to the baby.
Hold up now. So, hey, wait, just a second. So, hang on. I got to know this. Yeah, this is good stuff. So they got to the funeral, and I'm just trying to get the story straight. So they got to the funeral, and they're together, and they left the funeral, and they're not together, correct?
No, what it was is they used to be in a relationship.
Oh, okay.
They used to be in a relationship, right? And they supposedly wasn't in a relationship no more. They split up.
Okay.
Or whatever the case be. But because, you know, or whatever, they wanted to come to the funeral, and, you know, she wanted to pay some respects to her once girlfriend and this, that, and the other, yada, yada, yada. But they probably picked the wrong funeral.
That's what I was getting at. You know. That's what I was getting at. Come on,
sounds like they picked the right.
Yeah, they picked the right one.
And so we talked about the laws and things that are changing that's making everything okay. And I said, with people getting caught up in these, and they're taking these laws and things that are changing to make people comfortable in their sins.
We're misogyny.
And I stayed right there in that vein for a bit.
Mm.
And then after the service, when we went back, we were sitting there eating. The lady, she came up to us. She said, "Excuse me, Pastor, can I ask you something?" I said, "Yeah. What's wrong? What's going on?" She said, "When you were preaching," she said, "why were you just looking at me?" I said, "Why was I looking at you?"
Mm.
I said, "I don't recall looking just at you." I said, "When I started preaching, I said a majority of the time I can't even see the face of people."
That's right.
Like,
yeah,
it's going good. There, and so I'm just kind of just moving about, you know, just under that anointing, under that place that God has me. I said, and so what happened was
I was fixing to beat you over the head with the Bible. Yeah. What are you talking about? Uh-huh. I wasn't looking at you. I was coming for you.
and I said, and so it wasn't that I was looking at you. I said your spirit was open.
No, come on with it.
I said, your spirit was open now to where it was here in truth. And there was something in you identifying to what was going on right there, to where something could possibly that you've been dealing with or going on within you.
That's right.
Was feeling or feel the tugging of this of the word that was going forth.
That's right.
There. I said, and so what you have to do at that time is that I said, you have to examine yourself to see where you are in the faith. There, and I said, and to see if the word that was going forth there, I said, first of all, you need to check to make sure it's the gospel there. I said, because people can stand up here with pastor and say anything and preach anything. I said, you need to make sure that what I was preaching and teaching to you, first of all, was sound doctrine,
was the truth
there. I said, but after you go and find out that it was the truth, see where your life fits into that truth. I said, if your life then isn't in alignment with that, then you got some work to do.
That's right.
That's right.
You got some work to do. And I said, I don't know what that work is. Then she went asking all kind of questions. You could tell she was trying to pull and trying to get me to say something there so she can come at me. But I never would. I never would. I just kept reverting her, you know, right back.
You
to
called
the word.
Me out in this sermon, right. So I'm gonna come after you after the sermon. Yeah, that's right. Yeah. That's a good one.
So she just kept saying, "You sure you wasn't looking at me?
That's
you
right.
Sure you wasn't trying to poke fun at me or something?" I said, first of all, I don't even.
Her spirit.
I have no idea of who you are. There.
Whatever that thing was attached.
That's right.
Was getting a message.
Yeah. I said, so whatever you're feeling there, I said, if it was me feeling that way, I would say, thank you, Lord.
That's right.
Show me now.
That's right.
I have to come into alignment with what I just heard. There, I said, because what it is, it has to bring you to a place of decision. That's what the word done. I said, God's word helped bring you to a place of decision. So what decision is it going to make?
The Heavenly Father is standing at the door knocking. That's right.
She said, Pastor, man, go on.
That's right.
Oh, go on, Pastor. Go on. I said, okay, I'll go on, but you're still going to have to make a decision.
That's right.
That seed is planted.
Yeah, he's still at the door knocking.
Somebody needs to water that one.
That's right.
Yeah.
I know a man.
I know a man.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
Amen. And he's coming back as a man, too.
Mm-hmm.
On a horse.
Yes, sir, man.
Amen.
But yeah, man, it's so much going on up here, man. Till it's unreal, man. That the stuff that's happening, you know, to these kids, man.
Yeah.
That video that I sent y'all the other day, they got a school that's right here in Atlanta, right here, man. They got a sex ed class in first grade.
Mm.
Sex ed class, man. It's just so ridiculous the stuff that they're doing here.
Yeah. Did you get to listen to that Mark Driscoll episode?
Oh man.
Was that on time or what?
Man, I've been so on this whole Disney thing for a minute.
Yeah.
Because this is me. Yeah, right. You know, everybody talk about, you know, the music, Beyonce, right? Don't buy her CDs, don't do this, don't do that, there, and this, that, and other. Okay, cool. Don't endorse her. Don't support what she's doing, you know, this, that, and the other. Okay, cool. But you got Disney Plus on your
TV. Yeah.
Yeah.
So what is that? I don't understand that. And you know that Disney what Disney is all about. You know this.
The 666.
Mm-hmm.
Yes. And so
it's all in the title.
You got Disney Plus out there. You got the regular Disney. You got all this just everywhere.
Yep.
And then what makes it so bad is they put these things right in there in the cartoons, in the little animated stuff that they're doing right there, just conditioning and numbing the kids for this agenda.
Yep.
But ain't nobody saying nothing about though. Ain't nothing about that. Yeah, and just like the other day, me and my wife, we were sitting up there. She started watching this the good doctor, the something other, this artistic doctor guy. I mean, he's real smart, but he's artistic. There, and we were watching the first couple of episodes, man, and it was real good. There, we watched about the first 7-8 episodes. 9th, 10th episode. Now here come the homosexuality, mm-hmm. and all these other things starting to come in.
Yep.
Yeah.
There.
That's and where then, you lost him.
I said, honey,
yep.
We got to find another show to watch.
That's
and
right.
I don't believe this is going to pass.
Right.
She like, what? What do you mean, honey? I mean, it's just, I mean, that's everywhere. I said, that's the problem. It's everywhere. I said, see, that's the thing. They're making people so used to seeing it to where, When it really hits you right in your face, you know, oh man, that's just that.
Yeah, you just overlook it.
Yeah, you didn't think nothing about it there, and so now that's why these kids are that's why they're able to have curriculums like they have now.
Mm-hmm.
And this, that, and the other.
Just overlook it a little bit this year, overlook a little more next year. Over time, you're overlooking everything, and it's in their schools.
Yep.
And that's how God got taken out of the schools. But
I told my daughters the other day, and I told the church the other day, I said, y'all sitting up here, going school shopping, buying them all these shoes and all this and all that, they're all well, fine and good there. I said, but some of that time y'all spending taking them, running them here and doing this, that, and other, whatever the case may be, y'all better be sitting them down, teaching them about who Jesus is and who Jesus ain't.
That's right.
That's it. Right.
Yep.
And y'all better be praying. Y'all better get involved at that school up there. Y'all need to go up there. Y'all need to ask for a copy of the curriculum. Y'all need to see what they're doing. Y'all need to see what they're being taught.
Yep.
All
teaching them to pray on their own inside the school.
And, man, it's so bad. It's so, so bad, man. They had a case the other day. I don't know if I shared this with y'all before, but they had a case the other day to where they were trying to where this woman had breast cancer. The mother had breast cancer. And she was single parent, got a daughter. Well, the school thought it was fine. They now, while the mother going through breast cancer, tell the daughter, you know, you're going to have to go through just like your mother. So why don't you just go ahead and choose to be a man?
What?
Yeah.
No.
12 years old. 12 years old.
That's unbelievable.
There's a special place, as I said the other day. There's a special place.
And so they went through this whole thing the whole while the mama's getting treatment, trying to get better, trying to heal this, that, and other. When the child go off to school, this is what the child's being taught.
Right.
And so the mother noticed that the child stopped being prissy, stopped getting wanting her nails done, stopped wanting to get her hair done, stopped wanting to do those things there. And man, she was bothered. And so when she got enough strength to find out, you know, talk to the daughter to find out what was going on, she said, you know, a teacher told me at school that I don't have to be no woman if I don't want to.
Good night.
With fear of going through the problems that you were having. 12 years old or so.
I bet mama got better in a hurry enough.
And so she went and tried to press charges, tried to do every single thing. Yeah, don't you know that she wasn't able to do anything, and so she's still fighting now.
There's a time coming.
Trying to, you know, whatever, but man, that's crazy. That's the kind of stuff that we're up against.
Yep.
Up here. And you know, this is why, you know, I tell everybody that would give me all this, we don't have time to be caught up in all of this stupidity that they got going on out here in this world.
Mm-hmm.
There, you know, the white man this, the black man that. Man, you'll get out of my face with that crap.
That's right.
There, you wanna piss me off?
Yep.
Continue on that path that you're on right
now. That's right.
Yeah.
You know, let's talk about what we're going to do about these kids out here that were born boys and being taught that they're girls now. What are we going to do about that? There. I mean, man, we got our work cut out for us, man. We do.
I think there's a shaking coming up. There's a great shaking coming that's gonna open some eyes. He's going to remove the veil.
For sure.
Yeah.
No, for sure.
You know, one of the biggest distractions that I'm seeing right now, and the biggest distraction that I'm seeing right now is this whole exposure. Everybody is trying to expose the false preachers, the false doctrines, and all those things, which is a good thing to do. It's a good thing to expose them. But the Bible says, you know, we was going to experience these things in these times that we're in.
Yeah.
Yeah, but there's more exposing of the false prophets than there are reaching the lost and raising disciples.
Yeah.
And so I've just been praying and asking the Lord, you know, is this one of the distractions that the enemy is using?
Separate, divide,
you know, right, to keep the body divided, to keep everybody so focused, you know, on, you know, the false prophets and this, that, and the other, and everybody got, you know, like, you know, they got this thing now to where, you know, T.D. Jakes has been blasted, man. He has been blasted because they had an interview with T.D. Jakes, and they asked T.D. Jakes, was it such a thing as a LGBT church? And he said, why wouldn't there be? They have to have some place to worship God. They can't worship with us. Wait a minute. And they say he's American. He's called, claimed to be America's pastor. He ain't my pastor.
Right.
And so they were still talking to him in the interview there, and then they just flat out asked him, there, is it wrong according to scripture? Is it wrong? He did everything but say, yeah, it's wrong. And I'm like, wow.
Not bold enough.
Right.
Like this is, but condoning it. But I mean, actually condoning it. Actually, like, I'm like,
who is that singer that did it? What was the singer that couldn't?
Lecrae.
Yeah.
He was asked the same thing.
Yeah.
And Lecrae couldn't answer it.
Couldn't answer it. Now this is now Tasha Cobbs. They blasted Tasha Cobbs. I'm talking about they blasted her bad here the other week because she called herself gonna go on Instagram and pray for Beyonce, not pray for her to find Jesus. She gonna pray for her that she continue to prosper, that she continue to be great. She continue to be, and boy, she got blasted so to the point to where she had to shut down her Instagram comment page.
That's what it's gonna take.
I'm like, well, dang, how? Yeah, I mean, you right there from Jessup, Georgia. You know, how are you going to get here now to work? But she's not the only one. She's not the only one there. Man, they had, Yolanda Adams.
Mm-hmm.
Yolanda Adams, Tasha Cobbs, whatever her name is, Sheer, whatever. And then this other big-time gospel, supposedly gospel singer, or whatever the case may be, they performed at an LGBTQ event.
The fruit. There. We're judged by the fruit.
And so I'm seeing these things. I'm like, wow. What? I mean, it has to happen like that because Scripture said it was going to happen.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I'm saying? Lord, Lord. You know, that just because they're saying Lord, Lord, doesn't mean that they
which Lord?
Yeah.
That's the thing. Yeah. And that goes back to that Mark Driscoll episode. Which yeah. Jesus? Which Lord?
Yeah.
You know?
Now, he taught that thing. That teaching that he did, that was a real teaching.
Yeah.
You know, on that,
there's always going to be an opposite. The devil's going to create an opposite to what God has. And he really hit the nail on the head with that one.
Yes, sir. Counterfeited.
Yeah. What was the name of that? I can't even remember. What was the name?
Are you a fake Christian or something like that?
Are you a real Christian?
A real Christian.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Anyway, how's Miss Vail?
Oh, man, she is good. Man, she is good. She is good.
She all right with you being out in the yard walking around talking to us?
She wasn't here. She was at the church. They
okay.
We having a unified worship luncheon Saturday, and they was up there at the church tonight getting set up for it. That's a trip there too, man. You know, and I be poking fun at my bishop when he do it because it don't be but like him and one or two others, right?
Yeah.
That come. Now, when he very first started doing this there, and he was talking to different pastors, you know, about, you know, just coming together. All they do is just come together and just have lunch and they just talk about, hey, let's start fellowship, you know, one with another. No, it ain't got to be no nothing big, nothing. Hey, let's just start fellowship and let's give the community something to look at. Let them see us, you know, just at least just sitting down and just one with another, what it would look like in heaven.
Right.
That was his thing. And and so they came to the very first one there. I mean, it was like 7-8 pastors, man, and it really looked like heaven, man. Had a Spanish pastor that came, had a white pastor that came, actually two of them there, and then had an African pastor that came, two African pastors that came. And this thing here is fixed to be good, man. Yeah, man, this is what it's about right here, man. Had the next one, it was my pastor and one other.
Mm.
And I'm like,
seeing the same kind of stuff around here.
Oh, yeah.
I'm like, man, okay, cool. It's, you know, it's, hey, it was busy that one there.
Everybody just wants to be a part of their own four walls.
Except, and so he says, my pastor says, let's have a 3-night revival. Do a unified worship style. There are 3 nights. Man, we'll do it on Wednesday, Thursday, Friday night. There have, you know, different pastors to speak on different nights, man, in here, fellowshipping one with another, this, that, and the other. There, Pastor Vance, white pastor, came out the first night. I'm talking about, we had the building that we was in, for it, it seats 500 people. There, I'm talking about, we ran out of everything, right? First night. I'm talking about, it's people everywhere. We had to convert the softball field that they had there. We had to start parking people on the softball field. It's the first night. Second night, the Spanish pastor preached. Now, we in a panic when we left there that night now because now we parking people wherever. So we went out and you know, the big lights that they have on when they're working on the roads?
Yeah, the light towers.
We went and got those so we can put them on the field out there, just, you know, so we can see. Because, man, we caught the devil trying to see out there because they didn't have the lights working on the field that night or whatever. And so the next night we came out there, man, it was every bit of 80 people.
Mm.
The pastor that spoke the night before, none of his people, none of the other people came, you know, that night, the next night there. So then the African, the pastor from, he was from Nigeria. He spoke the last night there. It was probably every bit of 50 there. And so we was like, what is this? And so my pastor, you know, when they had the next meeting, he asked, you know, what happened? know, why did it happen like this? If it's supposed to be a unified effort, unified worship, why wouldn't we pack to
500 every night?
You know, every night. Why wasn't it like that every night? Ain't nobody, couldn't nobody say anything there. And so my pastor, I just told him. He said, this is exactly why our communities are the way that they are right now.
Yeah.
It ain't the ones that's following us. It's us. It's us. If we teach our people how to fellowship one with another, and we fellowship one with another, then they'll understand. Then they'll know. There, he said. This is exactly why the Lord gave me this for Douglasville. There, he said. But I'm gonna keep doing it. If I just have to sit there and be by myself, I know what the Lord wanted me to do.
That's right.
That's it.
There. And so he connected me with you guys. There, but y'all was all excited, all gung-ho about it. There, but what happened? What happened? If y'all can't be here, at least send your people.
Yep.
Yeah. And ever since then, man, it's been like pulling teeth, man.
Yep.
It's been like pulling teeth. And so I told him, I said, you know, we're gonna keep doing it. I said, I'm going home. We're going to do something at home. There, I said, I know I got a family at home that we can make a good go, a good start at doing this very thing at home.
Yeah.
And he was like, oh, what are you thinking? I said, I just want to know no agendas, be the center of it all.
That's right.
We just love on one, just whatever. It's whatever. There. We got to start doing something.
Yeah.
We got to start doing something, you know, there. And so, yeah, that was the other thing that I was going to share with you guys. I got a couple of things brewing. As far as, you know, us doing some stuff.
Okay. Well, we got the tent man here with us.
Yeah. I'm thinking of doing something, something like man church one time, or two, just bringing the men together and just loving on men.
That's where it starts. You
know? Yeah. Because if we can get the men to at least talking about coming together.
Yeah.
There,
yeah.
And that's gonna be so crucial, so critical, man. Just to get the men to just to talking in their homes or around their social groups or whatever the case may be, get them excited about just coming together as one body, right? And so if we can get the men's attention and get them, it could be a hot dog that bring them. I don't care what
right.
whatever it be. There it can be fish, it can be I don't care, whatever it be, just as lumped together there one to another, man, and just love on one another and just share in the word of God. Just for
it is getting and, it's getting about time for another fish fry.
Yeah, that's right.
Yeah. And the thing is there, once we start doing something, man, and we get people excited about the things of God, get men excited about the things of God, imagine what they're going to be like now.
Yes.
Where, you know, that's where we'll start seeing where Jesus said greater works than these that you can do, that we'll start to see some of those greater works there. Yeah. We're starting to see this thing. The, you know, people be scratching their head like, dang, what in the world happened? What are they doing over there?
I quit drinking. See. That's what happened.
That's
I quit drinking.
That's right.
That's right. That's right.
Yeah.
I'm filled with the Holy Spirit. I don't want to get drunk no more.
Yes, sir. I stay drunk.
That's right.
I stay drunk. I stay high.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. They always ask me, what you been drinking? No. I stay this way.
That's right.
That's right.
I stay this way. Yeah. Just don't get me talking about the things of God. Then you'll see. I just be calm.
That's right.
That's right.
I won't bother you. You won't bother me. But don't get me talking about the things of God. And I get excited.
Yeah.
That's true.
Well, we're running about an hour and a half right now.
Oh, man, I'm sorry.
Oof.
Oh.
Hey, it always happens like this.
It was good.
Yeah.
You know, we get Jamie fired up.
That's right.
Hey, and it's always good to talk to you, Jamie.
Man, it's always good, man, to have somebody to talk to, man, because I'm telling you, it's a lonely thing up here, man. And I'm telling you, I'm really working on getting that way.
Okay.
Really working on getting that way, man. I feel a great tugging.
Yeah. I know a man.
I'm just waiting for that release.
Are you giving us the release to start praying for it?
Oh yeah, you can definitely. You can definitely
there you go. Hey.
Yeah, you can definitely start praying.
Oh yeah, yeah.
I'm gonna have to wait till after this weekend. I can't talk to my pastor about stuff when it's coming up to Sunday, because he takes stuff that I say just. And so I'm going to start talking to him on that wide day. I'm start doing things at home.
Yeah.
You know. So
well, we know where home is.
And we know a couple of men.
Yeah.
Yes, sir.
And whenever, I mean, yeah, we'll be praying with you, Jamie.
And we'll be talking.
And
yes, sir.
But we do need to get out of here. I got to go home and go to bed so I can be up 5:30 in the morning.
Oh, man.
So,
yep.
Anyway.
Hey, we'll pray real quick.
Yes, sir. Let's do it.
Dear Lord, we just thank you for this time that we've gotten to share with one another. We thank you for Jamie, his heart. And we just pray for boldness. We pray for strength. We pray for just the tenacity to continue doing what he's doing, where he's at, while he's there. We just ask you to keep him renewed each day so that he can withstand the trials around him. We thank you for Jeff being here tonight, and we just thank you for what you're doing in his life. I thank you for what you're doing in our church, in mine and Michael's lives. And we pray for David right now with his work, that you would give him wisdom, give him insight, that he can use what you've taught him to carry out his job at the fullest of its capacity. And we just thank you for this group of brothers getting together, that we can use the phone to keep in touch, to share with one another, to pray for one another. But it's a group that we can depend on, we can lean on, and we just thank you for that in one another. We just ask you that the week ahead, that you would prepare the way, that you would put us where you want us when you want us there. And we just pray that you would keep us healthy, grace us with health and healing, safety, and provisions as we go out. In your son's name.
Hey, and we also, we thank you, God, for the clean bill of health for Jeffers.
Yes.
We thank you for keeping him safe. That's a miracle when we thank you, God. And do in Jamie's life what it is that you need him to do.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Put him where he needs to be. Put the words in his mouth that he needs to say and to who he needs to say them, and let them receive the word.
Yes.
Build him up, God, and bring him... Bring him home if he needs to come home, but if he needs to stay there, show it to him. Show Amen. Him where he needs to be. Show him what he needs to say.
Amen.
God, we thank you for Jeff being here. We thank you for our other buddies that are in our text groups that are, you know, praying with us and for us, and just keep us all growing. Our little group is turning into a larger group, and we thank you for that. God, we want to bring more men together to talk about you, to encourage more people. We got to have more bold men saying what we need to say to the lost.
Yes.
God, put the words in our mouth that we need to say to them all. In Jesus' name, I pray.
Amen. Amen.
Amen. Amen.
Hallelujah. Amen. Amen.